Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 5. The Unwavering Abolitionist. The history of Rushton, the most outstanding Liverpool opponent of slavery, has been ignored. That's because his uncompromising, combative and passionate stand contradicts the hypocritical and compromising opposition to slavery of wealthy men like Roscoe and the Rathbones, who were close friends of the slave merchants in Liverpool. Further, as will be shown, he combined his consistent and outspoken denunciation of slavery with a support for slave revolution and the fight for freedom of the oppressed everywhere. Avril Mackenzie Grieve, in his Last Years of the English Slave Trade, 1750-1807, gives the leading abolitionists in Liverpool as William Roscoe, William Rathbone, Dr. Binns, Dr. Curry, and Edward Rushton. These men opposed slavery, and later opposed the wars against Napoleon. The Liverpool merchants regarded them first with amused scorn, and later, when that determination of purpose was proved, as dangerous, misguided men.
Many of the merchants who dealt in the slave market were recognized by William Rathbone and his friends as honest men with many fine qualities. It was paradoxically the more difficult for them to convince such of the immorality of the trade in human beings. Were they not, they contended, conferring the benefits of European civilization upon the blacks? Were they not saving the wretched Negroes from death and torture at the hands of their native rulers?
F.E. Sanderson, in an essay on Liverpool abolitionists, also separates Rushton, with his forthright directness, from Roscoe, Rathbone and Curry. These three preferred to work undercover, not seeking the kind of publicity that would bring them to the notice of African traders in their hometown. Consequently, although they were known in their hometown, they were not identified by the public at large as abolitionists. Roscoe advised that frontal assault was unwise in point of tactics and unjust to those merchants who had a large part of their capital employed in it. Roscoe, Rathbone, and their circle were for the gradual abolition of slavery, with compensation to the merchants, ship owners, and slave owners. This was certainly not the position of Rushton. The Rathbones, one of the wealthiest merchant families in Liverpool, were Quakers and owned a leading timber business which supplied timber to the slave ships until 1783. This was despite the decisions of the Quakers as a body, who had condemned slavery and the slave trade. In 1763, the Quakers took a decision forbidding members to supply the slave trade. The Rathbones were engaged, however, in trading around the world, and in 1768, William Rathbone's day book records the sale of a young African to the Rathbone agent in Danzig for £32.12.05. The Rathbones continued their supply of timber to the slave trade until the Quakers, in 1783, formed a special committee on the slave trade and presented a substantial anti-slavery petition to Parliament. Sanderson says that the Rathbones had close association with Thomas and William Earle, prominent African traders. Edward Rushton, on the other hand, achieved the widest recognition through his poetry and his uninhibited attacks on the slave trade. Strictly speaking, he was not a fully-fledged member of the Roscoe Circle, although he shared many of their literary interests. To some extent, he was cut off by his poverty and blindness. For many years thereafter, he lived in comparative isolation and penury. Rushton was the only Liverpool abolitionist to have direct experience of the trade. It gave him an edge to his writing that is lacking in the works of Roscoe and Curry. It's impossible to conceive of Rushton meeting the evasions of the Liverpool slave traders with the gentlemanly debate of Rathbone and Roscoe. For Rushton's reaction to the hypocrisy with which slavery and the slave trade was defended, one has only to look at the bitter and scathing irony he addressed to George Washington on his ownership of slaves. No wonder that Lund, in his summary of the blind radical's life, declared,
"His trenchant attacks upon the slave trade, to which Liverpool largely owed its wealth, raised up many enemies for him. And his letter of remonstrance to General Washington on the inconsistency of holding property in humanity while fighting England for independence was so uncompromising that it earned for him nothing but hatred among the advocates of the nefarious slave traffic."
Sanderson writes of Shepherd, who was Rushton's close friend, that his biography of Edward Rushton brought deserved notice to one of the most courageous and neglected of the Liverpool abolitionists. Rushton, when he was being persecuted and in financial difficulties in the 1790s, refused help from Rathbone and Roscoe. With his forthrightness, it was inevitable that Rushton would clash with Rathbone's and Roscoe's diplomacy and compromising.